And we have a relationship with, through Jesus Christ, to God, and we can call him our Father. I'll just read a verse from 1 John. It says this: "See what kind of love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. So, wonderful thing for us as believers, that we can call God our Heavenly Father. This morning, we're going to look at, we're going to look at the, look at Abraham, and the call of Abraham, which is in Genesis chapter 12. Now, Abraham is known earlier in his life as Abram, and as you probably know, and later when God gave one of the covenants to him, his name is changed to Abraham. So if I get the two names confused, I apologize, because in the chapter we're looking at, he's known as Abram, but I'll probably call him Abraham. Same with his wife, Sarah. Her original name was Sarah. I'm not even sure the correct pronunciation, but it's AI on the end, and then it's changed to AH. So, and then changing names had meanings. But to Abraham is one of the most important characters in Scripture. We could say one of the most important characters actually in church history, in world history. Certainly for the Christian and for the Jew, he's known as the father of the of Israel, and even for the Muslim, he is a revered prophet. So, and we read about his life in Genesis. There's 14 chapters of the book devoted to him, and we're going to look at chapter 12 this morning. When you think of Abraham, what do you think of? Faith. That's right. That's the answer I had. I asked Esther that last night. What do you think of when you think of Abraham? She said tents, and he lived in a tent. Yes, but faith. I think of faith as well. And you know, one of the things about Abraham, it says a little later in Genesis that Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And this is an important truth, and it's actually taken up in the New Testament that. Paul, when he's writing in Romans, he devotes a whole chapter to it. And in fact, I'm just going to share my screen, if I can here. Let's try this. See if this goes up. What's happened? There it is. We'll read that. Romans chapter 4 says, what does the scripture say in verse 3? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And that's an important truth, not just for Abraham, but for us as well. And it's so later in that chapter, he's been discussing it. And at the end of chapter 4 of Romans, Paul says this: the words "it was counted to him" were not written just for his sake alone, but for ours own as well, for us. It will be counted to us who believe on him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That's a long sentence. What it's saying is, if we have faith on Jesus Christ, the fact that God raised him from the dead, he was delivered up, he has died for our trespasses, our sins, and raised for our justification. If we believe that and receive it for ourselves, God counts it to us as righteousness. It's a tremendous truth, and it's one that starts in Genesis with Abraham. So we're going to look at Genesis 12, and there's three paragraphs in that chapter, and we're going to read, and conveniently that gives us 3 points for a sermon, and some people think you need to have 3 points in a sermon, so it's going to work today. Chapter 12, the first three verses, we read about the call of Abraham. And then from verses 4 to 9, we see Abraham's response to that call. He starts his journey of faith. And then from verses 10 to 20, we see a testing of his faith. So let's look at his call. And we're going to read, actually, I'm going to read a few verses. It's not actually on the screen, but from the end of chapter 11 for context. From verse 31, it says, Terah, that's Abraham's father, took Abraham his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth together from Ur of the Chaldees to the land of Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. The days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And then we get to chapter 12, and it says, Now the Lord said to Abraham, Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God calls Abraham to leave his country, his family, his kindred, and go to a land I'm going to show you. And now Abraham was originally from the city of Ur of the Chaldeans, and it's believed by archaeologists that that was in southern Iraq, what is now southern Iraq, about 150 kilometers north of the city of Basra. And apparently is a wealthy civilization, an advanced civilization. And the Lord was calling Abraham out of there. And he starts his journey, and he stalls in Haran. And for whatever reason, he goes there partway. And then his father dies, and then he continues his journey. Now, an alternate reading of verse 1 is that the Lord had said to Abraham, in other words, the past tense, he had told Abraham when he was still in Ur, leave that country, leave, and but for whatever reason, he stalls his journey partway in this town, city of Haran. But God's call to Abraham came with promises, verse 2 and 3. Promises. And I've just redone that slide. I can change to the next. Oops. I've rewritten verses 2 and 3 as bullet points, because it's telling us the promises that God gives Abraham. He's calling him, but he's also giving him promises. And the first one is, I will show you the land where you're going to go. He's going to promise guidance for him. Actually, Abraham didn't know where he was going to go. He was just following the Lord. And God says, I will show you. I'll promise you guidance. I will make you a great nation. And we know through history that the great nation of the nation of Israel was descended through Abraham. And they have a unique relationship with God. And they've been preserved by God as a distinct people. You know, God has made a great nation. Now, it's interesting that this promise is given at a time when his wife was not able to bear children. And although I didn't read the verse in chapter 11, I think it's verse 29 or 30, it tells us the first thing we hear about Sarah is that she couldn't bear children. But knowing that, God still gives him this promise that he's going to be the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. There's a spiritual principle here. You know, God is blessing Abraham. He's going to be a blessing to other people. As I was thinking about this, I felt that this can apply to us as well, you know, as believers. God has blessed us. We need to be a blessing to other people in our lives. And it's a good practice in the mornings, when you're having a quiet time with the Lord, say, how can I bless the people I'm going to meet today? Paul talks about the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians. And And it's a good thing to be, strive to be a fragrance of Jesus Christ and bless people around us, because we've been blessed by God tremendously. The promise goes on to say, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. We see he's promising protection for Abraham. And as you go through the story, the life of Abraham, God does protect him. And he's protected Israel as well. You think of the way that that people have been preserved down the centuries. And then he says, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this is the ultimate purpose of God blessing Abraham, of God calling Abraham, is that God's plan of redemption for the world will be through Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was a direct descendant of Abraham. If you look in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke, it has genealogies of Jesus Christ. And sometimes you wonder, why are all those names there? But they show us that Jesus was a direct descendant of Abraham. And so all the families of the earth are going to be blessed through him. There's a real emphasis here on what God is going to do. And God's plans depend on God. Now, one way to study the Bible, a Bible passage, is to ask the question, what do I learn about God in this passage? What do I learn about God in the call of Abraham? And I've got a couple of thoughts there. There's probably a lot more than that, but one of them is this, that God is sovereign. God had the right to intervene in Abraham's life and to call him, you know? And Abraham was quite comfortable where he was, I'm sure, but God intervenes in his life and he's sovereign and he has the right to our lives and to Abraham's life. His command comes with promises, but we see that God is very persistent and very patient with Abraham through his life. We'll see this later in the chapter. The second thing I see that I learn about God is that when he calls us, there's a from and a to in his call. I'm just going to go down to the next slide, if I can. Well, there it is. God's call has a from and a to. And here's a map, actually. You can see over on the right-hand side at the bottom, there's Ur, where he was living, and he was called to follow, and he follows up the Euphrates River, and he stops in Haran. And God is calling him from Ur to Canaan. He's calling him to leave his old life, and he's calling him to follow God in a new life. You know? And Abraham actually doesn't know where he's going when he starts following God, but he does know the next step. And God says, I'm going to show you where to go. We do read that he was from a family of idol worshippers in Ur, but he was having God was calling him out of that and into a new life. And you know, that's true for us as well, isn't it? You know, new life begins when God calls us out of an old life into a new life through Jesus Christ. In Scripture, God calls, we see God's call in a number of different people's lives, and very different people, and to very different tasks. You know, think of some of the people I put down here. There was Jeremiah. You know, he was the son of a priest. And then a few books later in the Old Testament, there's Amos. He was a shepherd, which in that society was, you know, very low down in the social order. Very different people. Moses was called. He was a light, had the life of a prince, a pharaoh. But God called him. He thought he wasn't adequate to the task that God called him to. But God enabled him. And God, when he calls somebody, enables them to fulfill that call. So Abraham was called out of Ur, and he had to make a decision. How do I respond to God's call? And that's a decision each one of us has to make in our lives. How do I respond to God's call in my life? If you haven't started on the journey of faith, how do I respond to the call of Jesus Christ? He wants to call me out of my old life into a new life. And for the Christian who's on that walk, am I responding to God's call in my life? So let's move on to the next section, which is Abraham's response. And that's from verse 4 to verse 9. In verse 1, it said, the Lord has said, go. Verse 4 says, so Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abraham passed through the land to the place to a place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. Now, at that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, to your offspring I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there, he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed on, still going towards the Negev. We see a progression in Abraham's journey of faith here. And first of all, it says that Abraham went out as the Lord told him. Now in Hebrews, there's a verse there that says, by faith Abraham obeyed and he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't know what the end destination was. He was just trusting God. And it says he was 75 years old when he departed. Now, that's not much different to me. And I'm thinking, here he was. He was settled in Ur. Apparently, he was quite a wealthy person. He lived in a prosperous area. And God was asking him to leave there, and go on a journey that he didn't know where he's going. It took faith, you know, and sometimes faith requires risk. Faith requires trust. And that's true for us in our Christian lives. We don't know what's going to happen, but God will show us the next step, and we just trust him. We have faith in the Lord as we journey in life. Remember a few years ago, 2016, we had a group of people visiting from Dubai, and they were Christians who had been saved out of Islam, and they were up at the university, and in the university work up there that I was a little bit involved with, and they were sharing that, and we invited them here, and they shared here on the platform. And I remember what one of them said. He said, you know, he said, if you're at the on a beach, or if you're beside a lake and you go out in the water, you know, as long as your feet are on the ground, you know, you're trusting yourself. He said, but really what you need to do, you need to get out of your depth. And he's using it as the illustration of the Christian life. We need to be trusting God, get out of the depth, out of our depth, so that we're not trusting ourselves, we're trusting him. That stuck with me. And I think that might have been the situation for Abraham. You know, he was, it seems like a big risk, leaving all you know to obey God's call. He had to entrust God. He was getting out of his depth, really, in his life. But you know, it's been said that following God has risk, but it's safe, because we're putting our trust in Him. So Abraham had to intentionally choose to go. And it's been said that not every step of obedience is easy, but obeying God is always right. So he, and there's certainly progress here. There's a progression on his journey of faith. And what I see here is, as he went into Canaan, we see that God appeared to him again in verse 7 and gave him deeper revelation. He says, this is the land that you're going to have. This is the land I'm promising to your offspring. It's interesting also that it says, just before that in verse 6, it says, at that time, Canaanites were in the land. And the writer notes this, and why is this here? You know, God is giving a promise to Abraham in the context of obstacles to its fulfillment. And Abraham was being told, this is your land, or it's going to be, but the Canaanites were there. And he needed faith to believe that God was going to give them the land, even though it is occupied by somebody else. And it's true earlier, I think I mentioned that when he was told that he's going to be the father of a great nation, it was given in the context that his wife was barren and couldn't bear children. They were given in the context of obstacles to their fulfillment. And that can be true for us as well, can't it, sometimes? That, you know, do God's promises to you seem impossible due to your circumstances? That's what Abraham could see, but yet he trusted God. And so we read that Abraham built an altar to God, to the Lord there. And presumably that involved worship, it involved sacrifice. And then he journeys through the land and that God had promised to him. And the relationship with the Lord gets deeper. And he builds another altar to the Lord, and he calls upon the name of the Lord. But then there's challenges in his life. And the next section says, verse 10, says there was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land. And in the Bible, there are a number of cases in the Bible that it talks about famine. And there are times of testing. I think of in the story of Ruth, Naomi, and her husband Elimelech. They had famine in the land, and they had to choose. What are they going to do? And they made a choice. And Joseph's father and his brothers, there was a famine in Canaan there, and they went down to Egypt, and Joseph looked after them. Challenges and difficulties are inevitable as we walk with the Lord. And this is true of Abraham as well. And he has a challenge here, a test, and he actually doesn't do very well at it. Let's read what he does. Chapter 12, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. And when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarah, his wife, I know that you are a woman, beautiful in appearance. And when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, and they will let you live. Say that you are my sister, that it may go well with me because of you, and that my life might be spared for your sake. When Abraham entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And for her sake, he dealt well with Abraham. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male servants, female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister, so that I took her for my wife? Now then, here's your wife. Take her and go." And Abraham gave men orders concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Not a very nice passage to read. Not doesn't reflect well at all on Abraham. And actually, incidentally, I think this is one of those things that where the Bible rings true, that it is God's word. Because if man had written this about Abraham, they wouldn't put in things like this about him. They'd have just built him up they certainly wouldn't show episodes like this in his life. Now, I just go back to, he doesn't do very well, doesn't do at all well at this test. And you know what? Abraham had been following God. He is where God wanted him to be. And yet he has this big dilemma, this big problem in life. And you know, difficulties in life don't necessarily mean that we're not where God wants us to be. But God uses them. He can use everyday events and tests and trials in our lives. But for Abraham here, I think his faith was replaced with fear, or by fear. Because the famine really was ultimately under God's control. And the famine offered Abraham a choice. Would he depend on God, or would he rely on human solutions? His choice was either to stay where God had led him or to go down to Egypt. And there's no indication that God had told him to go to Egypt. And rather than trust God, his life was replaced with fear of what might happen. And this fear led him to very poor decision making. You know, and so he leaves the land that God has led him to, and it actually puts him in a far worse situation. We don't see him asking God for his instruction or his leading. And he has some very selfish thinking here. Look at verse 12 and 13. He says the Egyptian will say, "This is his wife." Then they will kill me. They'll let you go. "Say your sister that it may go well with me, and because of you that my life might be spared." There's no thought for his wife. He's just thinking about himself. And but God does deliver them from this situation. And despite Abraham's awful decision, I mean, just betraying his own wife, God delivers them from the situation. Because Sarah was part of God's plan. And God was not going to allow Sarah to be defiled by Pharaoh. And so he has this miraculous delivery. I mean, as you read it, you wonder, why didn't Pharaoh kill Abraham? But God spares him. And instead, Pharaoh releases Sarah and expels them out of the land and lets Abraham keep all the wealth that he had acquired in Egypt. So did Abraham learn his lesson? You know, sometimes when there's somebody really falls flat on their face spiritually, they learn their lesson. But you know, apparently Abraham didn't, because a few chapters later he did exactly the same thing again, and he's with Abimelech, king of Gerar, and again he's afraid, and again his wife, he says, is my sister. And the same thing happens, and God delivers them again. And I wonder about that. How could Abraham do that same thing again? And what I thought was this, that, you know, when you sin once, it's easier to sin a second time. You know, once you've let your guard down once, it's easier to sin a second time. You know, he should have learned the bitter lesson, but it didn't seem that he did. And the other thing we learn about Abraham, it doesn't say it here, but it says it a little later on, that he had devised this plan, not on the spur of the moment, but before he left his home in Ur. Before he left his home in Ur, he had said to his wife, look, just say you're my sister. And so he had, it's like a backup plan. Just in case God doesn't come through for me, this is my backup plan. And now part of it, you know, actually his wife was his half-sister. Both Abraham and Sarah had the same father, and they had, but had different mothers. So there was a truth there to say that she is my sister, but a half-truth was only a deception, wasn't it? Because he didn't tell the full truth. And but the fact that he had devised this plan before he left Ur tells us something about, well, I'm not totally trusting the Lord. And in life, you know, sometimes when we sin, those sinful acts are not really a spur of the moment as they might appear. You know, sometimes they've been in our minds before that. The encouraging news is this, that that there is a way back for Abraham. There is a way back. And God delivered them from the situation. And now knowing that God can redeem you out of a situation is no excuse to disobey, but it is an encouragement for us that if you do fall, there is a way back. There is a way back. Sin still has its consequences. You know, later in Abraham's life, he has a child with Hagar, and that created all sorts of problems that are still going on today. But Hagar was Egyptian, and it's most likely she was acquired into the family while they were here. So there were still consequences to pay, but God delivered them from the situation. And I'll just close on that, because in the story of Abraham goes on in the beginning of chapter 13 that says, so Abraham went up out of Egypt. In this passage here, it says he'd gone down into Egypt, and now comes back up out of Egypt. And chapter 13, verse 2 talks about how that he went as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place where he had made an altar at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord again. So there is a way back for Abraham. So we'll leave it at there. I've enjoyed the study myself of Abraham, the fact that he was called out of Ur and to follow a life with God. And this whole truth of the fact that we are all called, we're called out of an old life and into a new. Shall we close in prayer? Father, we just thank you for what we can learn from the life of Abraham. I just pray for each one of us here this morning that you would bless us, and as we go from here, that we can be a blessing to other people in our lives as well. So we commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew. Let's just stand and we'll close this time together in worship together.